get hyper. We don't need the kids to be bouncing off the walls. Maybe the adults to be bouncing off the walls. Could you imagine church with the parents bouncing off the walls instead of the kids bouncing off the walls instead of having donuts? So we'll bring donuts next week for the adults only. And then the kids could actually pick up the mess what the parents would create from bouncing off the walls and off the ceiling and just being so whacked. I'm not going to do a backflip because I might get hurt. Maybe your dad could do a backflip. Maybe John could do a backflip. Actually, we need a higher ceiling because if he did a backflip, like, that would be something. That would be spectacular. I would pay money for John to do a backflip. Hey? I would pay money. I might even let him test drive a Corvette. Oh, he does that already. we were talking last week about prayer and the importance of prayer. You know, life is uncertain. How many of us know that life is uncertain? But who is certain? God. Does God change? God doesn't change. And how do we know that God doesn't change? His word? Are you sure about that? I'm just testing you.
I know.
Don't turn red.
Too late.
So we know God's promises are, he never breaks a promise. Right? So if our life is uncertain, and we see that all that's happening in this world, and we know that God is certain, he's the foundation of our faith, and that God never breaks a promise, how often do we pray? How often do we pray? Not nearly enough. And why is that? Why don't we want to pray? What are some reasons? What hinders us from praying? What hinders you from praying?
Busyness.
Sorry, business?
Hiding the truth.
What?
Hiding the truth.
Hiding the truth? So
trying to hide the truth.
So some sort of sin in your life that is hindering you to actually want to get into the most holy place, into the veil, yep, to be in the place
with
Christ?
Don't want to admit your failings.
You don't want to admit your failings? What else hinders you from praying?
Afraid of what the Lord might tell you.
Afraid what the Lord might tell you. Yeah? Okay, what else causes us not to, what hinders us from praying? Tiredness?
Don't
want to
do it.
Don't want to do it? Yeah? We're trying to be honest, right?
Unbelief?
Laziness? Yeah. So if we have what causes unbelief?
Pride?
Yeah? Sometimes we have unbelief because maybe we don't think God's actually going to answer our prayer.
Lack of faith.
And sometimes we don't want to pray because, Lord, are you actually going to hear my prayer? In the Word, it tells you that he hears your prayers. He might not answer your prayer in a specific time, but he will answer your prayer. It might not be the way you want the prayer to be answered, but he will answer that prayer. You pray for your lost family to come to know Christ. It might not even, it might be 20 years. Before I came to Christ, people were praying for me for almost 3 years. Right? endlessly. My aunt and uncle gave me a Bible for when I graduated from high school. It wasn't until 4 years later than that, or 3 years, almost 4 years later, that I actually opened up the Bible. But I always carried with me. Right? We don't always see prayer right away answered. Right? And so sometimes we doubt that God even hears our prayer. But sometimes it's just like anything. Are you going to be good at sports the very first time? The first time you go out and play ball, are you going to be hitting that right out of the park the first time?
Yeah.
Hey?
No.
No?
Never.
Are you think you might strike out the first time?
Sure.
Right? Because here you're at the base, you're looking, your hand-eye coordination, you think you might have the greatest hand-eye coordination, but you know the pitcher, he's like, well, I could throw a curveball, I could throw all those different kind of balls, and you're not going to hit them because you're not trained. Right? Does it make sense?
Or you can have two untrained people.
We can have two untrained people. But see, God wants us to spend time with him. And we have to say no to our flesh. Because your flesh does not want you to be in communion with the Lord. He does not want you to be in right relationship with him. He doesn't want you to go to him when you're in trouble. He wants you to look at yourself and have self-pity and say, look at this, look how bad things are for me, and on and on and on. And it's miserable. It's self-pity. That's disobedience. God wants us to go to him first, to take our eyes off ourselves and put our eyes on him, who's the author and perfecter of our faith. As we say no to the flesh and say, you know what, I'm going to turn off this TV today. I'm going to turn off this movie today. I'm going to turn off everything else that distracts me from spending time with the Lord. I'm going to do it today, Lord. I'm going to make this commitment, because it takes commitment. When you train for a specific event, you train. You take time. It takes effort. It takes perseverance. Right? If we aren't going to persevere certain things, you're not going to overcome it. Prayer takes time. You know, when we pray, it builds intimacy with the Lord. Mm-hmm. It builds closeness with the Lord. It brings reliance. So you're relying on the Lord. It builds your faith. It builds your trust, dependency on the Lord Jesus Christ. How you build, think of your own marriage. Intimacy. When you first meet your spouse, what drew you to her or him? Maybe they look good. Maybe they smell good. Right? There's that attraction. But how did you grow deeper with them to know their hearts?
Through discussion.
Through discussion? You know that women love face-to-face? Mm-hmm. And my little girl, she knows when I'm not looking at her in the dark. It's amazing. She goes, Daddy, you're not looking at me. No, I'm not. She grabs my face and turns my face, even when in the dark. A three-year-old. So women love face-to-face. Men, we like, you know, shoulder-to-shoulder or whatever. But women, God wants us to have face-to-face time to build a relationship, to build intimacy, to build trust. Right? Are we always going to hear God's voice? No. But if we are desiring to be in his word and desiring to know him more, he will reveal himself to us. Isn't that true? See, we always say, you know what? I'm busy. I know we're busy. This world is great. As soon as we got cell phones, as soon as we got computers, we think, oh yeah, things are going to get way easier. But we're more busy. Why? Because we have more distractions. Distractions, what is causing us not to depend on the Lord, but more on ourselves. Perhaps we need to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to get up in the morning an hour earlier than what I usually do and actually spend time with you. To listen to you, to read your word, Lord, to build this intimacy with you. It could be during the day. It could be at night. But whatever it is, it's between you and God. He wants to have this relationship with you. And we always wonder why we feel so dry and weary. Perhaps we're not in the Word. Because His Word brings life. His Word brings restoration. His Word rekindles us. Prayer also aligns us with the Lord. He brings us into alignment. Because when you're spending time over here doing your own thing, and God's over here, you're not really in line with Him. Alignment's coming right to have Him in front of you. And saying, Lord, I desire to have, you know, it's just one prayer I like. It's like, Lord, I bind my mind, my thoughts, my reactions, my attitude, and my emotions to yours today. Lord, let your will be done in my life. Lord, let me put off this flesh that desires nothing of you. And I want the spiritual man to flourish so I would desire the things of this kingdom. So that I could be more than a conqueror. Instead of walking in defeat. How many believers are walking in defeat? Quite a few. And why is that? Because they're not plugged in. It's hard. We could have this piano or the organ unplugged. It could make beautiful music, but if it's not plugged into the source, all you want to hear is go make these little tapping sounds. But when you're plugged in, listen to the beautiful music and how it could be used for God's glory. Just like us. When we get plugged into the Lord, we don't do anything. We are just allowing Him to use these vessels, our voices, to be His hands and feet, to be the light of this world. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? But you know the amazing thing is? He wants us to be a part of this. Isn't that an awesome God? Here's a God that created everything, and yet He wants you to be part of it. To really experience of who He is, and to know Him. To me, that's an amazing God. A God that using people that are not perfect, but are being perfected. He desires you to trust Him and to rely on Him and to get over ourselves. It's not about us. And too many people from the pulpit say, you deserve the best life. We don't deserve the best life. Our best life is knowing Jesus Christ. He's the one that is our author and perfecter of our faith. I know last week I talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you remember that story? And how they persevered. So in Daniel, right? Here they are, King Nebuchadnezzar made his decree that you had to worship his altar, his golden statue. And if you didn't, what would happen to you? You would die. Basically, you would die. And so a lot of people, what did they do? They caved in. They gave in to peer pressure and say, oh, I don't want to die. I don't want to die because if I die, then I can't do the things I want to do here.
They didn't want to suffer.
They didn't want to suffer. When, what did Meshach, what did the guys do?
They danced.
No, what did they say?
They didn't worship
God. Yeah, they didn't worship. They said, no, King Nebuchadnezzar, we will not worship you. I am not going to worship you, but instead they went to prayer. They prayed. Isn't that amazing? In the most difficult times of your life, they prayed. And even before the difficult time in their life, they also prayed. The good times they prayed. The bad times they prayed. Throughout their whole lives, they built this relationship with the Lord, and they prayed. And they trusted. They depended on the Lord. They said, Lord, no matter what happens, right? In verse 3:28 says, then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise. Oh, sorry, I don't want to go that far. If we're going to be thrown in, this is verse 17, so 3:17. If we are going to be thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand. O king, but if he does not, right? Do you hear that? They align themselves to God's will. If you want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. When we pray, we align ourselves up to God's will. They're saying that no matter if I get thrown in the furnace, it doesn't matter because my God is still able to deliver me. He's able to save me. And what happened in that fire? What happened in that furnace? He got in the fire with them. So that in our lives, we were going through some difficulties and fires in our own life. The Lord says, what's Hebrews 13:5 say? Second part of Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. God will never leave you as long as you're abiding and trusting in him. He wants you and us to abide in him, to trust him, to put off our feelings and to say, Lord, I'm going to get so whacked out on this sugar because you're the sugar, and I want to be bouncing off the walls for you. Right? Just think of it. If we would say, Lord, here's my fears. Here are my concerns. But Lord, I know that you are able to help me through this. Lord, help me not to feed my flesh. Lord, help me to not desire the things of this world. This world is like an eye candy. You know, you go, you look at the store, you look in the mirror, you look at the window, it's like, boy, I would love to have that, this. But those things, do they last? Do they really satisfy you? Maybe momentarily they might say, oh, yeah, this is going to help me for a little bit. And next, an hour, 2 hours, a week, 2 weeks from now, you're like, oh, this is boring. God is the only one that can satisfy you. You know, when we go through the fire, I said this last week, it refines us. The fire brings up the garbage in our lives that the Lord wants us to let go of, to surrender to him. When the fire is heated up, turmoil is all around. You notice when you go through difficulties in your life, what comes out? What's that? Impurities. So just think, if you're having a bad day at work and somebody's hounding you, right? And somebody's hounding you, what comes out of your heart? What comes out of your mouth? Anger? Bitterness?
Cussing?
Right?
Honest.
Well, you know what? To be honest is the best thing. Right? Because God is trying to reveal to you what's really in your heart. When we go through those difficult times, it's actually refining us. It's like, Lord, I know I feel like I'm going to blow up, but Lord, help me in this. Help me to respond in a different way. Lord, help me to not to start cussing or tell them off or punch them out. Right? Sometimes people want to punch people out. But the Lord is like, no, trust me. I will help you through this difficult time. It's saying no to the flesh. When we are saying no to the flesh, we're like, I want to trust the Lord more. Yeah. You know, just as, you know, for myself, the Lord is teaching me humility. He brings me to a place of, you know what, Lord, maybe I wasn't so humble in that area. Fires are a good thing. Fires reveal a lot of stuff about really what we believe. Do I really believe in the Lord? Do I really trust the Lord? Do I really depend on the Lord? Or is it mouth service? We're good at that. We'll say, yes, I'll go and clean that shovel. I'll shovel that sidewalk. Or I will do that. But in your heart, you're like, I already made a decision. No, I'm not. Right? What decision have you made in your heart today? That I will follow the Lord no matter what the cost? Will I follow the Lord no matter where He directs me and guides me? Am I going to follow the Lord when I am in prayer with Him and He reveals something that He wants me to surrender to Him? Are you in that place of really being surrendered to the leading of the Holy Spirit? And once we start coming in alignment with the Lord, our lives will change. He wants us to change. We sung, we're no longer the same as we were yesterday. It's talking about the new man. Right? We are not the same. We're different. We are cleansed by the blood of Christ. But do we believe that? Do we sing worship songs? We hear worship songs. Do we believe what they are saying? Because they are actually, we're saying about God's promises. We are reminding ourselves day in and day out of what God has already accomplished, what He's doing, and what He will be doing in our lives. The Lord is faithful. Press in. You know, in Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust Him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. When we are in line with the Lord, He gives us His peace. In John 15, it says, abide in me, and I in you. I'll read that one. It's about abiding in the Lord. When we pray, we're abiding in the Lord. We're trusting the Lord. We are trusting Him. John 15:1 says, I am the vine. I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. And my father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. He prunes so that it will be more fruitful. So when we go through the fire, he's pruning us. He's cutting off the dead branches that is sucking life out of us that are... You ever see a tree and you see all these dead branches and all the nutrients is kind of going to those branches but not producing anything? A gardener would trim those branches off so that actually the more the nutrients will go to those branches and more to the fruit. So the fruit will become more lush, bigger, right? And then actually the tree is not trying to, the tree is not being strained. Because that's what happens when you're being strained and you got all this luggage on you, all this stuff that you're carrying, and all these worries. And you have all this stuff holding you down. And you try and put all your effort in those things instead of giving it to the Lord. What is easier? To lug around these big 50-pound, 100-pound bags of stuff or give it to somebody else to carry? So all our fears, all our worries, all our doubts, all our unbelief, all our cares, if you would say, Lord, I can't carry this anymore. I want you to take this from me. Help me to trust you. Help me to rely on you in this area of my life. Lord, where people have offended me, Lord, I give those people to you, and I'm going to pray for those people, and I'm going to bless those people. Lord, help me to pray for those at my work. They are the most irritating, irritable people that I know, but Lord, I'm going to pray for them. Lord, I'm going to pray a blessing upon their lives. I'm praying that they would know you. Lord, I'm going to pray that tomorrow I know this guy's going to be on me like a fat kid on a Smartie. And he's going to say, you need to do this better. You know what? I'm going to say, thank you, and I'm going to pray for you. It's our mindsets. How are you going to react? How are you going to respond? It's a choice. It's a choice to pray to God, the creator of the heaven and earth. It's a choice to respond in a godly way. It's a mindset. A mindset is something that you're already chosen in your heart that you will do. Even before you wake up in the morning, let's say you spend all night watching TV, and you're watching whatever shows, and you say, oh yeah, tomorrow I'm going to serve the Lord, I'm going to and do all the stuff for the Lord. Are you actually going to do that? No. Why? Because your mindset has already been on TV and everything of the world. Instead of having, before you go to bed, and saying, I'm going to spend time in the Word of God. I'm going to know more about my Lord. Spend my intimate time with Him. Feeding my spiritual man the Word of God. That's a proper mindset. To fill our mind with the Word of God. Not to fill it with garbage. Because when you put garbage in, does goodness, righteousness, and holiness come out? No. It's going to be a lot of rotten stuff. A lot of H2S, a lot of gas. Just like when you fart. Right? But when you put good stuff in, when you put the feed on the Word of God, what comes out? Living. Yeah, refreshing. And think how when we respond to people in that way, how the atmosphere will change. Because the Ephesians 6 talks about, we don't battle against flesh and blood. But what do we battle against? Powers and principalities. When we have this mindset that I desire to serve the Lord, it's a desire to say, Lord, I am going to serve you with all my heart. It's a decision that you make. I can't make it for you. We all have to make a decision. Will I serve the Lord with all my heart? Like Meshach, like how these guys did in Daniel 3. That no matter what comes your way, you will serve the Lord. That I say, Lord, I will serve you. Lord, I'm going to pray to you no matter how I feel. Lord, no matter how busy I get, no matter what's going on in my life, I'm going to spend time with the one who gives me breath. It's a habit. It's a habit, right? So we're going to retrain. I'm going to help retrain. As a pastor, I'm supposed to help. I'm supposed to be the shepherd. I'm supposed to lead by example. So I got a little, we're going to break into groups of three again. Or maybe groups of two, or groups of four. We know we get free donuts after. So we're going to, I have in here, you put the person's name in, right? We're going to put the person's name in. And this is a prayer that we can pray for one another. Because the Lord asks us to pray for one another. And it's helping us to have a new habit. To build a new habit. So I added Romans 15. Want that one? So if we could break together and put whoever's name, whoever wants to go first, you put that person's name in. So I keep asking the God of our Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father may give Maroon the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that Maroon may know him better. I pray also the eyes of Maroon's heart may be enlightened in order that Maroon may know the hope to which he has called Maroon, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Right? And so may God of hope fill you, Maroon, with all joy, with all peace, as Maroon trust him, so that Maroon you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. These prayers are from the Bible. These prayers are just a template to help us to pray. Right? It's a template for us to help us to pray more effectively and to trust him. So as we do this, and if you're praying with somebody and you feel like, you know what, Lord, can I just pray? If something else comes to your mind, just even pray over them. Because the Holy Spirit will show you what else to pray for somebody. Does that make sense? So this is like the practical point of the sermon. Put things into work, right? Instead of just hearing talk, here's a practical side of praying for somebody. Or even praying for yourself, even at home. So, what's that? Okay, so I'll come.